Hello.
And welcome back to the Bible Study Girl podcast. My name is Sarita, but you might know me as Bible Study Girl, and I'm just a girl with something to offer the world. The first voice that you were graced to hear was the executive producer of this podcast, Bible Study Brother.
What's good, people? It is I, Bible Study Brother, but I am also known as Icarus Gray over at Gray Area Anime, and this is the most wonderful podcast of your day. But as my sister often likes to say, we are not just brother and sister in Christ, we are brother and sister in real life, meaning we share the same mom. You dig?
Yeah, dig. Oh, brother, I'm so glad we're getting a chance to talk to each other again this week. It feels good that we're back on our podcasting rhythm. I think the crazy thing, though, is that we've had to really adjust and be very flexible. We've had to adjust and be very flexible with when we can actually record. My sweet baby niece is off somewhere with mama, just being a sweet baby, and the sweet babies over here are sleeping, so we finally get a chance to sit down.
Shout out to my nephews, that's all I'm gonna say.
we had a time getting the kids down this evening. Oh, what a time. Everyone's sleeping peacefully, and it's quiet, so we can have this conversation. Brother, how's your week been going?
Week has been going a little, let's see, there's been a, and we use this emotional wheel from the Gento Institute to kind of talk about our feelings and how our weeks is going. If this is your first time listening, and you'll wonder why we have all of these verbose words for our emotions. So this week has been affectionate, there's been tenderness, there's been compassion, while also still being a bit shocked and perplexed, because that is parenthood. You know, like, I have all the moments where my daughter is the sweetest thing in the world all day,
every day,
all day. And then
all day, every day.
And then, you know, it gets to the evening when, like, me and Kanae are, like, kind of doing things together. And because she is super powered when both parents are around her, it's like everything we just went through during the day has gone out of the window. And it is a lot, very exhausting, because her and daddy have a very simple routine. The routine is daddy feeds me, daddy turns on Sesame Street, lets me enjoy to my heart's content. I look over at dad, I whine a little bit, dad takes me out of my little chair, he holds me, I go to sleep, I take a nap, daddy gets some work done, if he can get some work done and focus enough. Maybe I sleep for 30 minutes, maybe I sleep for an hour. Then I get up, I eat, I sleep one more time, and maybe the second time that I sleep after I've watched some TV or whatever is when mom is coming home, and then daddy can kind of, you know, do stuff that, like, take trash out, stuff that I, like, don't necessarily, like, want to run out of the house while she's in here, because she is a wild, wild learning machine.
Sweet angel.
Mm-hmm. She's a wild learning machine.
Sweet angel.
Well, these are all adjectives that you can use in your week. She is not the sweetest angel as much as she is an innocent angel. That is where she is. She's an innocent angel because she does not know the dangers that she places herself in every day just being happy. So that has been my week. Lovely wife finished her play run. So now we're going to get, like, our first full week of, like, hey, now our evenings can kind of not be contingent upon you having to leave and go do checks and leaving church and all this other stuff. We can kind of, like, you know, home back in and get stuff together. So I'm excited for that. And I'm excited to continue growing as a dad, trying to multitask. So how was your week, sister?
My week was hopeful. I had a lot of tenderness this week. primarily this past weekend.
Whoa, pause.
this guy. I'm going to explain what I said. So I had a lot of tenderness, fondness, but then there was also some, frustration. And I'm going to tell you why I had that variety of emotions. Darius and I went to a marriage workshop, and it was all of those things at the same time. I'm going to tell you this. So the first session, we played a flashlight game where you turn your lights on your phone, your cell phone. And if it applies to you, you hold your flashlight up, you know. And so they're like, who argued on the way here? Flashlight. Neon light. That's us. Because we went right after work and on a Friday. Got to get kids situated and, you know, just tired from the work week. And so you're trying to rush out the door and get stuff together and get on the road and then get there and get checked in. And it was a process, but we made it. It was a great weekend. We got, I think we got to talk about a lot of things we really need to talk about that we hadn't had time to even think about, you know, or contemplate or, yeah. So it was good for us. I'm tired though. You know, all of that traveling and ripping and running, and I'm tired, but I'm here and I'm grateful. I guess grateful is another emotion I can say. I'm grateful. It's been, we just have so much going on. But I'm here. I'm grateful. And I'm grateful that you and I are getting a chance to podcast, that we've been able to put all that stuff, you know, in the rearview mirror, I guess, in a sense, and get to moving. All right. I think we are ready for the scripture for today. And I'm really intrigued because I have no idea what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to see if I can figure out where we're going from the scripture that you give us.
Okay. So I have a couple scriptures I need to get through. So I'm going to be reading from Matthew 25th chapter, okay, verses 14 through 30. And then I'm going to be
the whole of 14 through 30
chapters, 14 through or verses 14 through 30. And then I'm going to be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. So,
okay, can I tell you something? If we were at church and you were the preacher and you said, okay, 14 through 30, I would be like, oh, because I'd be thinking, I have to stand up for this whole time. Thank the Lord. God in heaven that I am sitting, I'm ready to receive, my brother.
Okay, so what we're going through, and just to give y'all juxtaposition of where we're going to be reading, if you don't know, I'm going to be reading the parable of talents, and then I'm going to go through and kind of read the spiritual gifts that each and every one of you has given to you from God, and we're going to have a discussion after that, because I have a question for my sister based on the scripture. So let's get into it, because we do have a lot that we're going to go through. We're starting with the parable of talents, which means turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be reading verses 14 through 30. For the
what kingdom, version?
New King James Version, because that is my sister's preferred version. I normally read ESV, but I wanted to keep it within her mindset, so that way we can have a slightly more in-depth conversation, because it will ring more true to the thing that she hears. But you read it in whatever version you need to, but know that there's a specific reason why I'm reading it in this version. The parable of talents, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. That is a Mount Pleasant joke if there ever was one. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He okay, also
it is, but you gonna make me sing one of my favorite Mount Pleasant songs. Keep going.
Wake up in glory, some sweet day.
Now you cannot do it like Sister Gloria. I wish you I could. Cannot.
Rest in peace, Sister Gloria. Golly, I used to love that song. Still do.
Me too. That was like a banger. I know we read scriptures, but like when she sang that on Sunday, we were all wake. Up in glory. Oh, what joy.
What joy shall be mine.
Oh, wake up.
Wake up.
Come on. Pay attention to the scriptures. Okay. it was good though. Like, that's.
Listen, man. Like, that's like the only song. I think one of those type of like, I'm just like, I'm going to glory or. There's a leak in the old building song that like made me feel good about it.
Y'all need to find somebody that can sing that for my funeral.
We do.
That's a good one. You do. Bring it back.
Even if it's me, I'm going to sing it in her voice too. the one that had gained two more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and wouldn't hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather what I have not where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And in coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him. And give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, to further extrapolate, let's go on over into where we're going to be talking about in connection with the parable of talents, which comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through a spirit of message or wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to the still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, for me, for many years, these two are in conjunction because I feel like he is mentioning to the people in Corinth the parable of talents, but in a more non-parable form. And so my question to you, dear sister, is which of the servants do you think you are right now in regards to the spiritual gifts and things that God has given you? Oh, yeah, that's the first question. And then I'll have a follow up question after this.
Okay. So to make it clear to our dear listeners, can you give me a synopsis of the three different kinds of servants so I can give you a better answer?
Yes. So as we're reading, so there's a servant that he gave 10 talents, a servant he gave servant he gave 5 talents, a servant he gave 2, and a servant he gave 1. The servant he gave 5 went with that five, made 10. The servant that had two went and made 4. The servant that had 1 felt embarrassed, didn't do anything with it, and just buried it and tried to then give it back to his master.
I think I would say I'm the servant with 5 talents. Mm-hmm. And I think I've brought it back to him and laid it at his feet. Like, this is what you gave me and this is what I've done with it. I don't think I don't believe that I'm the type of person that buries my talent. Now, I will sit back and just like play it cool. However, I have not really been afforded the opportunity to not do anything with my talent. So I would say I'm more like the servant with the 5. Can I ask you the same?
I personally feel like I am probably the servant with 5, but think in my mind that I'm the servant with 2.
Okay.
And that's more so because I think I'm more consistent with certain parts of my gifts than I would be with others. Mm-hmm. And it's often hard for me to notice how many gifts I have. It wasn't until I think I took the spiritual test at our church like two and a half years ago, almost 3 years ago, that I was having a conversation with you, because we had a conversation about talents, I think, on one of these episodes. Because of
we stuff. Did. It was, yeah, a season opener. We went through our spiritual gifts.
And I was telling you, it wasn't until we did that I kind of started to recognize my gifts and other things that I had done that I did not give any kind of credence to. So mm-hmm. That's where I feel like I was a mix of, well, actually, I think I was a mix of all the servants, because since I didn't know that I had those giftings, there were a lot of gifts that I was not doing anything with.
Gotcha. But I think that's, yep. I find that, especially here later in my life, especially particularly in this season, like every gift I have, I've been having to use, like every gift I have, it's been pushed out of me. Even, you know, I'm not really big on public speaking. I'm not really big on being in front of a crowd of people, but I've been pushed to do that a lot more lately. Part of that is because my husband. So, you know, before I got married, I knew I could do things, but it's not something I would walk in a room and say, oh, y'all need somebody to do that? I got that. You know what I'm saying? Or you need somebody to do this? I can do this. But my husband, he's very proud of my gifts and my talents.
Yeah.
And so wherever he goes, he is going to, oh, you need that? My wife can do that. She can do this. She can do this. She can do this. She can do this too. And she can do this. You know what? I just learned the other day she can do this. I said, these pants need to be hemmed that she pulled out a sewing machine. Like, who is this?
Facts, you do. This is you. I do. And so the same I do thing, have. You know? I definitely do the same thing. Yeah.
So I do have a lot of gifts, but I think, especially like I said, in this season of my life, I have been forced to like use a lot of them because my husband has no problem telling everybody, "Oh, my wife, she can do this. She can do that. She can do this. She can do this. She can do that." Mm. And she does that too. Oh, you need somebody to do that? Don't worry about it. She does it.
When I was thinking about this episode, I just was thinking like how difficult it is to kind of like understand that aspect. And sometimes make sure that you're filtering things through God's point of view, mm-hmm, of what he gave you, and like not leaning into things that he didn't necessarily give you. And the struggles in that. So like last episode, we were talking about, basically, do we feel like we are full in terms of the spirit, or do we feel we're empty and kind of like just wandering on this journey with Christ or whatever? Right. Mm-hmm. And I think about that with our gifts And I was just thinking, like, there were a lot of times, especially when I was younger, where I felt like I was just a servant with one talent. Because I didn't consider the things that I did that were easy to me as talents.
And I think we are alike in that, brother. So there's a lot of things that I can do, but I don't consider them a talent, like you just said, because I'm like, oh, everybody can't do this. It doesn't register to me as a talent. And I'm telling you, like, seriously, being married and being with somebody that's like, wait, what, you do that? And I'm like, everybody doesn't do this.
You know what yeah. I mean? You know what's funny about that? That's me and your version of mama not understanding her tax bracket.
We don't even have to talk about that on this podcast. She has a problem.
She has a problem. That's all we're going to say.
She does have a problem. Like, I'm like, mama, this is not. Anyway, go ahead.
Because, you know, like with rap or with writing, the reason I didn't pursue certain things in a certain way is because I'm like, well, if it's coming easy to me, I know it's coming easy to somebody else. And that makes them that much more qualified to do it.
Correct.
Versus, no, I gave you this because it's literally the talent that you don't, that is not your own, that I'm giving you because I need you to do something with it. Or I don't need you to, but I am asking you to do something with it.
Right, to do something with what I gave you. I will say too, though, let me ask you this question. Okay, because I was talking to mama and I was saying to her, we were talking about, I'm not going to say what we were talking about, but anyway, I was like, I am my mother's child. Like, I'm working on not on just telling somebody like good job and not telling them what's wrong with something.
Yeah.
Like, boy, and not telling them what's wrong with it. I was like, I am my mother's child.
All
like,
my traumas.
I was like, I can see the wrong in anything, like me personally, anything personally I do. So I think that's another reason I kind of struggle with my gifts and my areas of talent, because you could do it beautifully and the whole world would be like, you did a great job. And mom would be like, you did do a good job. But that first sentence, the verb and the subject did not agree. Just God, want you listen, to know.
Let me tell y'all the biggest question. Like
she is an encourager. But do you know, brother, when I said that to her, she was like, what are you talking about? She did not realize.
She didn't realize she had her version of I don't mean no harm.
She did not realize that about herself. Like, I really did shock her with that. I was like, what do you mean? What do I mean? Like, you don't know you do that? She was like, I don't. I was like, mama, you do.
Listen, I'm gonna show y'all my biggest moment of like, oh, my talent can't be nothing. And it's based off of not with my mama, it's with you, but it's our big hypothetical battle. When my sister said to me, and I say hypothetically, if you got $1 million or whatever the case may be, what do you think?
You're going to bring it.
But that was one of my things. Like, that, it's for the talent. Like, I'm like, oh, she think I'm trash. Yo, no, that's not crazy. What I thought. No. That's how it came off, is what I'm telling you.
That's how you felt when I said that to you.
Yes. Because I wouldn't.
Y'all, me and my brother did not talk to for 6 months after this hypothetical, and I told him, like, to me that means that I'm going to be loaded.
That was her thing. But
here's, I was like, here's, I don't have breakdown. $1 million.
So
here's the thing.
Basically, because and now, like, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but for you, those of you that don't know, we have. My thing with hypotheticals is not so much the hypothetical, it's your mindset about the hypothetical. Because then it says that in this situation, this is what you would do, and that is what you think of me. And okay. So the hypothetical was, you know, if you had $1 million, like, how would you, like, in terms of your immediate family, what are the things that you would do, right? I said what I would do is, like, because the biggest thing with my sister at the time was her school loans and debt and everything else. I was like, I'll clear that out. And, you know, I feel like I said, I get your house or I'll do something, because that's what I want to do for you, because that's your biggest thing. Like, you got other things that you want to do, right? Like, because that's a little brother to his big sister. Like, yo, I got you. That's what it is. Like, if that's going to get you to where you need to be, go on, do what you're doing, right? My sister then says to me, yo, because it was something with my music. But basically, the whole thing was, she was like, well, before I do anything, you got to show me you can, like, fill out a show, do something with a show. And I'm like, wait, what you mean? Like, I'm going to have to, like, I got to prove to you whatever it is that I'm doing before. Yeah, like, why would I just, I said, I'm not telling you, you got to show me that you using your degree anywhere. Like,
but I was showing you I was using my degree, but we're not going to talk about
either
it.
Either way, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter. I still wouldn't have cared. It wouldn't have mattered, like, right, for me.
But that's how you going to
feel. And that's how
hood.
Then I felt. No, you cool. No, I got it. I understand God and your talents and whatever. I get it. I understand what I had to prove to you. And that, at that point, I was like, oh, no, I'm trash. I got to be. Because, like, I promise you at that time when I said it, I was like, if I do whatever it is you're trying to get me to prove, at that point, I do not need you. Therefore, there was no point in you doing this. Like, I am trying to do what I can do for you to give you an avenue to do better things versus I got to go through a process with you to get the same thing is how I felt. So, like, that was the biggest knock to my talent at the time, because I was like, oh, this is crazy. Like, I know I ain't doing what I need to be doing to, like, talent wise, if it's not something that's recognizable.
Well, to me, since we're having this discussion, it wasn't the fact that you weren't talented. I just didn't see you moving in any direction. Like, the thing you said you were passionate about, I didn't see your passion for it. So, like,
but I also then showed you all, like, you also didn't, like, in the same way. We've also had this conversation where I proved you wrong and showed you all the things I would do. You just didn't know. And I wasn't finna, like, in that moment, have an argument with you about the stuff that you weren't around or didn't ask about to see that I was doing to make my dreams come true and the place that I had been and the reason why I was asking for that, the money to do to be able to get to the next level.
Okay, let's talk present day then. So, do you feel like you know what I'm passionate about without me having to tell you?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
and even if I didn't, we still different. Like, it doesn't. You're right. Setting up a situation where I would still do that for you. You have different qualifications, which is your right. But that right. just ain't that just I, ain't I, how I'm coming. So
I understand how you're coming, but you brought it up. So
no, I'm saying go ahead. I'm just saying, like, it, if we're doing the thing where we're, like, trying to, like, explain, like I get it. I'm just saying, like, that's always going to be a sour spot for me. But I get it. That's the same thing that you're talking about with mama. That's the adjacent thing for me. Like, okay. there are less things that you will invest in and help me with versus the other things in terms of, like, bar for getting if you were able to.
Right.
And that's crazy to me.
To you. But, you know, we read a whole book, not last year. It wasn't last year, because 2024, we didn't do much book reading. But
no,
not, the year not. Before about, you know, your own personal boundaries and whatever they are. So
I guess it wasn't
a knock on your talent. It was, like, to me, it was a parable of the talents. What are you doing with it? And you, at that point in your life, to me, were like the person with the one talent. It was hidden. It wasn't something that I could see. So it was just like, not saying you aren't talented, but if I don't see you doing a thing, why am I gonna be like, oh, he's really into this? But anyway,
like, but I mean, you were also I've also explained millions of times, like, your lack of actual information on that is a you thing, because there were other portions of that I was doing that I had done prior to that. Like, right, even when I didn't, like, even stuff that you were adjacent to, like, you drove me to Big Lots and I bought 100 pack of CDs, like, absent of that, like, wasn't right. asking you, didn't ask you for nothing. I had the 20 on me.
I'm trying to think, I'm trying to think when we had this argument, like what season of my life I was in.
Oh, you were in the season of, I think you are a pariah to our mother. And like this, you're not like, you're working a job, you haven't finished school. She has done X, Y, Z. We talked about this. I am upset about whatever it is you were upset about in regards to that. So I definitely wasn't feeling the, this is where I think you should be quota in at that time in life, no matter what it was that I was doing.
Okay.
Like it, there was no, it didn't matter if I had been, you know, the fact that I was working consistently, it didn't matter, like I had done shows, it didn't matter that I had projects and stuff that I was actively pushing, but prioritizing like being consistent in work, which was the thing that the mother wanted me to do, because like I wasn't showing consistency somewhere else. So I'm like working hard and making sure that I'm working and I can pay for the things that you are asking me to pay for. Like that is where I'm trying to be consistent and show you whatever, because it takes time to do the other things. And I don't want to look like I can't work or I'm not going to work hard. So I was working as hard as I could to reach a certain level of what I like. I mean, I felt like the only thing I could have done to actually please the wants and desires of the masters at that point in time for me was like I had to make a certain amount of money. It wasn't about my passion or whatever it was I wanted to do. I had to basically show whatever it is that I didn't need you for anything is what I felt. And that, I mean, that's how it came off. If it was something different, you know, I think maybe I kind of like would have thought about the talents differently, or thought about like how I was trying to manage my talents or whatever. Cause I mean, even before like, so 2010, around the time that, you know, one of my other nieces was born or whatever. Like I literally went on a, had a tour, a little small tour, whatever, where I did a show in Fayetteville, did a show in Little Rock, came back, did a show Fayetteville, came back, made cheesecakes for a baby shower, and then did the show all like in 24 hours or whatever that evening. I think you came to one of those shows. I think you and Smith came to that show. Like while I was out here doing what I could within the construct of like my work schedule and everything that I had going on.
Stop living in Little Rock at the time, because 2010 I was in Houston still. But anyway, I
Well,
don't
so it would have been
remember.
like 2010, 2011, but it was around the time of the baby shower that you did, because you did the baby shower.
Well, that was in 2011,
Yeah,
or
something
maybe
like.
even 2012, honestly,
But
because
just
I
in
didn't.
that, in that sphere
Okay.
is what I'm saying. Like, so it from the start of it, from when I was working with TJ, was 2010 when we first started doing stuff. But then we did the show subsequently around that time, and like by that point I had put out like two or three mixtapes, had done a couple shows in and around town, was trying to like get something going. And yeah, I was working on it as best I could given my work schedule. But go ahead.
Okay. I don't know. You went down the hole, so bring us back. I
But I
have
went there,
nothing
but
else
that was my
to
lowest, like feeling like my talents were not worth anything.
Okay.
And for a long time, I was doing the opposite of what I really wanted to do, which was like it necessary. It didn't necessarily like your ask of me was more of what I should have been doing. And it really shouldn't have mattered what I thought that y'all thought about my talents at the time. And I should have just focused on them. But it's very hard because I was like, well, I know that, you know, by this point, you had done X, Y, Z. You had, you know, you're able to do this. You got your degree. You're working in this. Same thing with mama. And like, you're doing the thing that you say you want to do and all this other stuff. And here I am trying to do the thing, but it's not at the level that y'all are at. And I don't necessarily know how to get there. I just know that this is something that I'm supposed to do. But I also know that it like it really weighs on me if what I do does not seem excitable to these two people specifically, like because I'm not getting that same thing anywhere else. If I do the thing around other people, I at least get a response like, oh no, like even if nothing comes of it, there seems to be a better understanding of the actual talent or what it is that I'm doing or trying to do. So that was the lowest point for me in terms of my talents and trying to multiply them. So it's like, it's very understandable. The people that are the one that end up doing nothing, because you have to have this a certain level of confidence and understanding that it's not always in finances or whatever initially that your gifts will multiply or make room for you in certain ways. And I know I didn't have that then, at least not that understanding. So what do you have a lower moment for you in regards to that, in terms of like, would it have been, you know, before you went to college, like when you were not wanting to go to college, was there just like this weight on you that kind of made you feel like, well, because you, like I said, you've always been very multi-talented in a way that, like, I've always been the Darius in regards to how I see you in your life before anybody, but it was because, like, I'm like, dog, she does all this amazing stuff so easy. I don't understand why she doesn't kind of, like, lean into that. So what was, like, that moment for you?
I don't know that I have a lowest moment. Again, as evidenced by this podcast, we come from a very critical family. Mm-hmm. Not saying the family is not loving, but there's a high bar for excellence. So I don't ever really consider myself like, it's never good enough. I've not ever done a real good job, because I can tell you everything that was wrong with everything I ever did, every podcast, like I can tell you everything that's wrong. And so I guess that's just a life journey for me. And the only reason I said that I'm the person with the five talents is because my husband keeps saying that to me.
Wait. So how do you specifically outside of that probably feel like you the one? Or the two at best?
Probably two at best, because I don't really feel like
talented. It all makes sense.
I don't feel talented. I really don't. Because I can tell you what's wrong. I'm like, you sure you don't want somebody else to do this? And like, you know what I mean? Like,
okay. That's rough, man. It makes more sense now about your hypothetical, because it's like, if you don't even give yourself a why would you give somebody else that same allowance? So that makes more sense. That makes me feel a little better in terms of understanding your understanding. But like,
so can I ask you a question? I don't understand why you don't know that I'm just like, that ain't cute. Like that wasn't good. Like, you need to do better. Why do you not know that about me?
Because I pay attention to what the people are saying about the stuff you did. Like, you just pay attention to you. I don't pay attention to you in that regard. Like, I pay attention to somebody asking you for something. And not only when they ask you for something, and we talked about this one of the episodes. We talked about a lot of this stuff, I like how it kind of evolves. But anyway, we talked about how you have a gift to bring to fruition things that people need that they didn't know they needed. Mm-hmm. And like, I've never seen somebody, like, outside of our hypocritical family member, that.
Well, let's back up off my mama, because
not her. I'm not talking about her. let me move over it, because you're gonna give too many clues. Let's move.
Okay, but so I was gonna say this, just in general, we come from a very critical family. So if somebody in our family says to me, "You did a good job," period, I'm more likely to believe that might have been worth something. You know,
people have about a lot of stuff.
No. What I get from our family just as a whole is, this is what was wrong with whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I get what you mean, but I'm thinking general, of specific. Anyway,
I'm just saying, in our family as a whole, broad sweeping, everybody, as a general rule, it's, this is what's wrong with what just happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying, but I guess because I see beautiful events. I've seen beautiful gifts. I've seen a lot of beautiful things, regardless of, like, I know you want to, like, because in that critical moment, I know you immediately thought about your gift card gift. And if you didn't, whatever. But
I didn't. You just brought it back up to me. Let me give an example of a story of how this criticalness has passed through the generations. Amen. I, as a hardworking college student, decided I wanted to bless my brother for Christmas one year. Okay. College. That means I didn't have a lot of money. Amen. I got my brother for Christmas a $100 gift card so he could go shopping and get some new clothes. And do you know this man was like, oh, this is what you got me? Uh-huh.
Mind you, here's the other thing with my mom and my sister, right? And this is their problem, not mine. I do appreciate the gift, said of that. Not, I went and got some really good stuff that I had for a very long time that I still used it, which we can get to.
When I tell you he was able to get so many clothes with that $100, you know why? Because his sister went with him to help him, like, shop deals and all of that.
Yeah, and it was a good little, it was a good little thing. But the thing about you both, there are very few times, or not very few times, if I ask them for a food item, they will get the specific food item. Whatever it is that I'm requesting, food wise, I'm gonna get it. Because that's just how, that's the one thing we ain't got to go over a barrier of explaining or anything else, right? A lot of other places, at least earlier, because we got better with it a little bit later. But when I would ask for specific things that I'm like, yo, I really want this. I really want this. I really just, like, promise you it'll give me all kinds of joy and all kinds of things. Like, I would not get those things. So at that time, I'm like, I know I had asked for a game or something. And that's what I was expecting. And that's what I'd be hoping for. Like, just give me a gift card so I can go and get the thing that I really want to get, which is this game. So I can, like, you know, that's one of my biggest joys. Like, when I'm able to play these games, I get, like, inspired, creative things, whatever, whatever, whatever. So that's what I'm expecting. So then I open it and I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. But to further prove my point about you, on top of being like, well, I ain't got to, you know, we did all that or whatever. But then, with something I was not expecting, you then took me, and not only, like I said, did we get all these clothes, like, literally a lot of clothes, like, at a lot. And I wasn't expecting that. At that point, that was the moment where I was like, well, I know I might not agree sometimes, but clothes-wise, I'm just gonna go. Whatever you want to get me is what happens. And, you know, and from that point on, anytime you would go and give me clothes or do something like that, I'd be like, even as I'm sitting there, like, I don't know about this. I go home, I put the stuff together, and I'm like, I see it. I didn't see it at first. I see it now. Because that is a gifting of yours. But I think our biggest issue with our criticalness in this family and the talents and stuff, which this has turned into a very good conversation to me, spiritually, is we focus too much on the front and never think about, like, what actually happened. Because you might see, like you said, you might see something within, like, the stuff you did at the event that you didn't like or that didn't go the way you wanted to go, right?
Right.
Where, like, prime example, I think there were things with Mother's, like, 50th birthday that, well, I think, I know because of how you're speaking now, I know there were things that you weren't, like, happy about or whatever. But, fam, we had a whole flash mob choreographed dance that everybody asked us to run back.
I was so mad when they were like, do it again. Y'all, I'm barely walking at this point.
You know?
But you want me to do a whole routine again? It was a crowd stomper. I mean, it was the crowd favorite.
You know, but, like, that's, you know, one of the hype things where it's just like, well, that happened. Like, nobody complained about the food. Well, nobody that was not family. Got to be very clear because I don't want you coming here. Well, actually, you know, and everybody had a good time. You know, I think about, you know, Jay dancing and just all of these different things that like happened, where the experience of their party is something that we'll never forget. The experience of all the parties in 2008, where everybody who was celebrating a birthday in whatever month was celebrated in a way, it's not something I'm going to forget. Like, I wish and pray very deeply that you start noticing the fruit of your actions versus thinking about when you planted it. Because there is so much fruit.
I will tell you this. I know that I have a tendency to be hypercritical. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important for me with the wedding that I be as hands off as possible.
Oh, that was a good time.
And I don't think anybody believed that I was going to be able to be a chill bride. No. You didn't believe it, did you?
No. You know how much Bridezilla we've watched in life? And how
nobody,
much? You know, nah.
Nobody believed that I was going to be able to be a chill bride. However, to me, honestly, the marriage was the most important thing, not the day.
Oh, and no. I saw it in your eyes that you, I knew in your eyes that you didn't care about what was going on during the day.
I really didn't care. And there were things that went wrong. No, there is one thing that went wrong that still boils my blood to this day. And I'm like, somebody should have told me, because then you would have seen Bridezilla. Somebody, because you almost got it during the moment. But I'm going to tell you, I know the Lord. I was in the zone that day.
No, you were. I told you how in the zone you were that I was like, oh my God, calm down. I was in the zone, man.
Because one of my friends that came to the wedding, she was like, okay, I thought to myself, well, this must be what she wanted because she's so chill. Like, girl, do you know me? Absolutely not. Nothing about that was what I, you know, that particular situation was what I wanted. However, to me, the prize was I get to deal with my husband and we're going to enjoy this day because this is the only wedding day, you know, we actually get. And man, I hate that happened. And it's something that still bothers me to this day. But
I mean, I think that's still wedding stuff. Like it took 2 or 3 years before I stopped like being bothered by the stuff.
Yeah. Like, but to me, even with that, like, it was such a great day for us. Like, that's the day my family was created. So
it's an amazing day, bro.
That probably is like the only time in my adult life that I've been able to like just like, it is what it is, you know. Because I remember even like the bridesmaids, like, you don't care what we, I don't care, y'all. Here are your options. Like, what kind of shoe? How you want me to wear my hair? Baby, I don't care. I'm going to be there.
But I also think that, like, I think in framing that, there's a couple other parts of that I would hope you would understand. Because I do think of you as somebody, in the same way that I think of our mother, as somebody, like, well done, good and faithful servant, is something I always feel in my heart that y'all will hear. Based on the works of things that you've done, not under some critical eye, like under his eye of love and the intentionality that you go through everything with, right? So the reason you're looking at people and people are asking these questions is because nobody around you, and I would implore you to ask this question of like your friends and stuff this week, before this episode comes out, just ask like, do you think that I expect exceptional things without reason, or do I expect exceptional things because they happen? Like, that's what I create or attempt to create. And I think that there's more people who understand that you create the exceptional versus the opposite, because I don't think anything that you ask somebody to do is not without reason. Like I said, like, even if I'm having my little moment about this gift card, I then go with you and I'm like, okay, why? This is insane. How am I able to? I ain't never been able to get this much stuff with this ever. Like, I would have had 2 games, like 3 or 4, maybe 5 months max of like time and like investment in like a forever of memories that I'm going to take with me. But
right.
this, like, I remember, like, there's only one shirt out of all the stuff I bought that I bought that I was, like, more confused. And I think you probably told me not to get it. Or not even so much not to get it. There was probably, like, well, I had a specific idea in my head on how what I was trying to do with it, and I just couldn't do that. But everything else, fam, is, like, exceptional. You know, like, even with us beefing my wedding and the things that were available at my wedding were exceptional. Like, built off of those ideas, you know, like, any trip we've ever gone on, the activities that we do, exceptional, memorable to forever. You know, like, when you and I sit down and craft a, this is our, I think it's called, like, a crawl, a bar crawl or whatever, where you go to, like, all the bars or whatever, but we do food crawls.
Yes, when we love to eat.
Put that together. What are we, whales? Like, cow whales or something like that. I don't know how we're whales that make cows. I'm thinking about your the Gulf Shores trip.
Oh, we were beach whales for Gulf
beach
Shores.
Whales, that's what it
we
was
were beached whales.
Yeah,
but for my 30th birthday, we were beach whales. It was great.
That was exceptional. Oh,
what a time. A time was had. Like, now, I will say that was a great time.
But exceptional. I do know how, you know what I'm saying?
I do know how to craft an experience. Murder mystery party this summer. I thought it was fun.
Dog, it was insanity.
I thought it was so much fun. Anyway.
The Gray family. Got away with it twice.
Two times.
But exceptional, bro. Like, I that is my implore, what I implore for you for the rest of this year. Like, I really would like for you to examine the fruit, for real, of the things that, of some of the things that you have done, because there you have visual evidence in so many different ways of the fruit. Like, for anybody that was critical of you, I got about 30 pictures of you having a good time.
Quite often I do have a good time, but I mean, that's something I guess you need to be in prayer about. Yeah. Cause even yesterday people were like, oh my gosh, you did such a good job. And I'm like, oof. Part of me is, I guess it just, I don't know.
Oh,
so that's something I need to be in prayer about.
So we'll end on this question, which, like, we have had really good conversations off of these past, like, two episodes. I like this format of, like, a deeper question, a deeper dive into the word in this way. So do you think that God would treat you right now like the servant with one, and that you wouldn't hear "well done and good and faithful servant"? Or do you think you would hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"?
No, I think he would be like, you took the talents I gave you and you used them. Because, like I said, I have no problem using my gifts, but I think it's hard for me to see them as gifts. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's hard for me to see, because whatever he's giving me, I have no problem putting it back out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have no problem using what he gave me.
Mm-hmm. So I guess in that, then it begs the question. So do you think you've multiplied anything? Because if you don't, I can tell you that there's an imitator right now.
Who says
that you have multiplied something.
Okay. So I was going to say to you, I have multiplied things, right? So I started off, there has been growth in my journey with my gifts, right? When I think about getting together with the Bible study girls way back in 2011, we're on a podcast now. So has my gift grown? Absolutely. It has, from sitting in Bible study with them to teaching a Bible study. You know, my gift has grown and it has expanded. I still struggle, though. I guess the ultimate thing is I struggle with a feeling of unworthiness. Like, I'm not, why am I even doing, like, I'm doing it, but, like, is it really good? You know what I'm saying? Like, because I don't want to be out here misrepresenting who he is. You know, I don't want to be, I don't want this work to be sloppy because I need to give him my very best. And like, it could be better. You know what I'm saying? So yeah,
I think you've illuminated where I think you are with it. It's like, it's not that you don't think you're using, but like I said before, you're not convinced that you've multiplied anything because you keep going back to like, yeah, I've done these things. I, like you say, I, in terms of I've expanded, and I'm like, but you have fruit, not only just fruit of like stuff that you've done, but fruit that has grown in other people. Like, which shows that you've given your gift out in the, you know, in a horizontal Jesus type way.
For real. I don't debate you on the fact that I've given it out. Whatever he gives to me, I give it out. I'm gonna put it out there.
Yeah.
I think my issue is just, I don't know, God, is this good enough? Like,
Well, do you notice your fruit? Like, so I'm going to ask the question again. Do you notice your fruit?
I don't know. Let me meditate on that. You know, you and my husband are similar in that way.
Mm-hmm.
My husband thinks out loud. Mm-hmm. I am not an out loud thinker. Like, I have to sit there and ponder and pontificate. Meanwhile, he's still talking. He's not talking to me. He's talking it out, you know, verbally. So he's a great podcaster because he's going to keep talking till he reaches his conclusion. And I have to sit with stuff. So,
okay. I can respect that. So, I mean, it kind of does prove my point in a sense because I'm more so just thinking about it because currently I think it's a no because you've done a lot of things. I think your love or the time you put in the youth ministry has shown up in the adults because they're adults now. In the adults in their connection and what you and Tamika built, I think the general artist in you has proven a lot. Your event organization has definitely sprouted seeds and fruit in other people because there is nobody that looks at you and thinks that whatever it is you're going to put together is not going to be exquisite and excellent. Like everything is just going to make sense. And it's not even like you're doing some banquet hall, whatever. Like you literally will just do stuff by the numbers and do stuff like in a budget that is your budget. And people are amazed because they're like, fam, you just took two pieces of bread two fish,
five loaves
of bread and fed everybody. How?
Yeah. That was fam. That was Devin and Ari's wedding when it came to decor. Two fish, five loaves, baby.
Five loaves. And I was catering.
You were catering.
Getting food and stuff together. And everybody ate.
We all ate. OMG. When we get offline, I have to tell you something. Speaking of Devin and Ari's wedding, ding, ding, ding. Something happened this weekend at the wedding convention. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to tell Joe. But you know, I was busy. So anyway.
But yeah, so
thanks for the discussion on talents. It's something I really need to sit with and think about.
We'll definitely have a part two because I think it.
My current pastor he called me the other day and he was like, you know, because if you don't use your talents, you're going to lose them. He was like, I don't want to say you're going to lose them, but if you got a talent, you need to use it. And I was like, okay, but I don't know if this is necessarily a talent of mine, but I'll give it a shot.
What's the talent? What's the talent he's asking about?
He wanted me to teach Bible study one Wednesday night.
Fam, okay. Hold on right now, y'all. We finna pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, release my sister from this like principality of unworthiness. Like she literally, Lord, just walked us through how she started a Bible study. The Bible study turned into this, which turned into a podcast, which has, in terms of her breakdown of your word and how she digests your word, has more than once gotten her a position where they want her to teach or to tell other people because she digests your word in a way that touches and reaches your people. And I just pray, Lord, that you just give her freedom, because it don't make no sense, Lord, that all this fruit is ripe, plump, juicy, looking great, falling off this tree, and she don't want to even look at it. I would almost say I want to remove this spirit of Moses breaking the stick off my sister, so she ain't got to be in the wilderness, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Remove it.
That's all I got to say.
I thought you was going to have I thought you was going to tell me, he said, you know, like, I think you could do the full, well, you could. I was about to say something that's other, is still in your warehouse. I'm like, I wish you could do the floral arrangements. And I'm like, wait a minute. She does that. No, that's not weird enough.
I do love florals.
You know how long it would take me to find something within a church that's weird enough? Like, I don't know necessarily that you want to do.
Come on, throw something out. Let's see.
Secretary stuff, like, I don't think you want to do nothing like that. You've done adjacent stuff, like what mama do to help mama.
I would love to be a secretary, because a secretary gets to sit there and just, you know, make it happen.
Really?
I would.
You've cleaned up churches.
Everybody has, so you're naming things.
Yeah,
again, these are not things that are like to sit down and to type. Yes, let me type. I will draft a letter.
You've preached. Doing it.
Have I? I think I
stop doing it. No, we're not doing it. I didn't get to do it. You're not getting to do it. You've preached.
No, it's true. I've spoken. No,
you've preached. What is the thing? I don't know. I don't think I can think of one, but. Anyway,
I spoke on Mission Sunday, brother. It's not preaching. It's speaking.
We're not doing it. We're not doing
Amen.
That. We're not doing Amen. That. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing Man. It. Get out of my face. But I appreciate you. We are going to have a part 2, because I do kind of like want to check in on us, because like I said, this year I want to be even more intentional. I think with the spirit of multiplying these talents and using these talents without a critical heart over the things that you're doing, because that. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, being in creation and content creation and everything else, as long as I've been in content creation and everything else, that is the biggest killer of anything. The reason you were able to do the blog in God's way is because you wasn't sitting here looking for how many people were reading or caring.
Oh, like, no, mm-mm, I'm just doing it.
But that's what I'm saying. The amount of content creators that do not have that, because for all of them in some way, that's the business, is that's where you, but that's where they start. They don't start with what are they crafting. They start with, you know, how many people are looking and whatever. But
it makes me uncomfortable to look at stuff like that, to see how many people are looking. Like, it makes me super uncomfortable when you're like, come join our YouTube, subscribe. Like, I don't want to hear it. La 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 la. I'm just gonna do it.
Whatever happens, bro.
Happens. But you know, I do, like, I am like a behind the scenes girl. I think that is probably why it makes me uncomfortable to hear people say, "Oh, you do great at that." That makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't want to be seen, so I shouldn't have married a giant, huh?
No, you should not have. You had one of our family members asking, were you just that short? Which is crazy. Like, nah, that man is 6'8", yo.
Yeah, he's enormous. Everywhere we go, people are going to be looking. And if they happen to glance down, they'll see me, you know. but it makes it harder to hide. Anyway, brother, fantastic episode. Yeah. Good topic. I love that we are being able to dive into the Bible more. And really apply it to our real everyday lives. That's what it's all about for me personally. I get the most out of sermons when there are practical things that I can do to live it out and walk it out better. So hopefully, I don't know, hopefully this helps somebody and hopefully it helps me. I really do want to get to a place where I can just exercise my gifts and not feel, I don't know. I
think it's a big blessing as I close out to, if when you start looking at the fruit, that there are so many people who do not get to see their fruit. Like, they do just do what you're doing, which is I go and I do the work. God will multiply and do what he needs to do with it. You have not only like brought fruition to weddings, brought fruition to baby showers, all you know, fun events, game nights, Bible studies, plays, songs, you know, written posts in the written mediums of, you know, the blog, visual things in terms of pictures. You have brought tears in terms of gifts. You've like encapsulated what thoughtfulness is, to a point to where it was very hard for me early in my marriage to let my wife give me gifts, because I didn't think that there was the same level of, oh, it don't matter what you get me, I know this gonna fit. Like a lot of times it's like it would be further from like my capacity of what I think, like this is so far off the beaten path in terms of how I would think. And you just have a lot of fruit, and I kind of wish you, or pray for you to see that. Not wish, I really do pray for you to see that. And I pray that each and every person listens. Like, if you are a person that thinks you are with one talent, like, realize that your one talent can be multiplied. If you got two, it can be multiplied. If you have five, it can be multiplied. And God wishes that for you, because you, in multiplying your gifts and doing the things that you are asked to do, you open the doors for believers and non-believers to see the power of the Lord in the doing, and in the doing when it's like how he fashioned you to be. So don't forget and remember that it's not just you or I that's in this struggle, or you and I that are preaching, but we preach.
And until we meet again, guys, keep preaching. Yeah.